Almeida migránsokat engedjünk.
There is not enough money in the world for which we would put our children or grandchildren in the hands of LGBTQ plus activists.
This Marriage Equality Achievement means so much for our community, especially LGBTIQ young people.
The feedback that we got, we listened to that, we took it very seriously, we listened very genuinely.
They claim that there are no protections based on sex for the transgender people like myself who rely on this medical care.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Daniel Osias. Our news rep crew is off for the holidays, but speaking of queer news, this week's special show will take a chronological look back at some of the stories they've reported in 2024. It's not a top 10 list by any stretch, just a collection of items featuring some of the more interesting voices from the past year.
25,600 minutes. How do you measure a year?
Let's start by winding the clock back to the news wrap of January 15th, 2024.
The January 13th election of Li Qingte as president reinforces Taiwan's liberal reputation on LGBTQ issues. As vice president of the ruling Democratic Progressive Party, Li was instrumental in getting marriage equality legislation through parliament in 2019, a first for Asia. He took his presidential campaign to Taipei's LGBTQ Pride Parade last October, another first. Li's two opponents for the presidency favored building closer ties with the People's Republic of China. In his victory speech, Li placed Taiwan's independence at the heart of the global struggle for democracy.
Taiwan 告诉全世界,
we are telling the international community that between democracy and authoritarianism, we will stand on the side of democracy.
Li will be inaugurated on May 20th.
The Republican-controlled Missouri State Legislature was anti-trans ground zero on January 17th. On that single day, 8 anti-trans bills were debated. Measures affecting access to gender-affirming health care and appropriate sex-segregated public facilities, as well as legal recognition of gender transitions. The Show Me State has shown its transphobic agenda with a total of 49 anti-trans bills in the House and Senate so far in January 2024. Rabbi Daniel Bogard has a 10-year-old transgender son. He came to testify against a bill as he has visited the state capitol many times. This time he said it was so that my son can poop at school without being bothered. He told the committee he was desperately trying to avoid moving his family from their ancestral hometown. He said, "I'm begging you just to leave us alone." Then Bogard was asked to speak not as a dad, but as a rabbi.
If you look at Jewish history, you will see that there have always, for as long as there have been Jews, there have been trans Jews. We have normative understandings. The normative, regular, exegetical understanding of Adam, like Adam and Eve, is that Adam was born as one intersex, non-binary being with all the private parts. We have stories that suggest that Abraham and Sarah, these are 1,500-year-old Jewish texts I'm talking about, had fertility issues because they were intersex. We have stories of Jews in the shtetl in Ukraine 200 years ago transitioning and being accepted as men in a place where women wouldn't even count in a prayer quorum. You just have to look at Jewish history to see this. And look, the Mishnah, the basis of Jewish faith today, 1,800 years ago, describes 6, 7, or 8 different sexes that humans are. Because being trans is just another way of being human.
That was Rabbi Daniel Bogard of Missouri.
In the words of Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban,
"Nincs az a pénz. Almeida migránsokat engedjünk be.
There is not enough money in the world to force us to let migrants in. And there is not enough money in the world for which we would put our children or grandchildren in the hands of LGBTQ plus activists." This was Orban's latest social media delivered response in his ongoing war against the European Union. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced this week that more than the equivalent of 25 billion U.S. dollars in funding will remain frozen until Hungary meets minimum EU human rights standards. Funds are being withheld because of the government's dismantling of democratic norms, gags on academic freedoms, and persecution of minorities, especially LGBTQ people and would-be immigrants. One of Donald Trump's favorite autocrats, Orbán is also accused of rampant corruption.
A drag queen story time in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, set the Guinness World Record for the largest ever attendance at such an event. Rather than in a library or bookstore, the city's venerable Philadelphia Gay News teamed with the tourism-promoting Visit Philadelphia to hold the historic event at the National Constitution Center. It was the June 1st kickoff for the city's Pride Month. Drag queen story times have increasingly been targeted by far-right groups, the insurrectionist Proud Boys in the U.S., and similar groups in the U.K., Australia, and elsewhere have threatened actual violence against performers and venues. They show no regard for the safety or well-being of the parents in attendance, let alone the children they claim to be protecting. Guinness officials set the bar and were on hand in Philadelphia to count the crowd of 263 parents and kids.
So today, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA, you had 263...
Guinness credits H&M, the Marsha P. Johnson Institute, and Gay Letter with hosting the most people attending a drag brunch in June 2023. 412 people were present for that Pride event in Brooklyn, New York.
Recent questions about the ethical conduct of U.S. Supreme Court justices are rocking confidence in the judiciary. That could change the political landscape for LGBTQ people and other marginalized groups that have depended on the courts to uphold their rights. The same justices who have expressed opinions opposing those rights are facing the spotlight of scandals involving lavish gifts and concerns about unbiased judgment. Right-leaning Justice Clarence Thomas has received literally millions of dollars in vacation travel, a high-end RV, and tuition for his grandnephew from a wealthy benefactor interested in influencing the court. Thomas wrote of the Dobbs opinion that overturned Roe v. Wade that marriage equality rested on the same shaky ground. Justice Samuel Alito has received questionable gifts on a smaller scale. He has also voiced skepticism about the Obergefell decision. Critics of Thomas and Alito find clues to their biases in the conduct of their wives. Ginny Thomas was active in fomenting Donald Trump's January 6th assault on the Capitol. Justice Alito blames his wife Martha Ann for flying flags representing support for that insurrection over both of their residences. Progressive journalist Lauren Windsor played the role of a supportive MAGA Republican to chat with Martha Ann Alito at the June 10th Supreme Court Historical Society reception. The occasion allowed Alito to hoist her true colors.
You know what I want? I want a Sacred Heart of Jesus flag because I have to look across the lagoon at the Pride flag for the next month. I made a flag in my head. This is how I satisfy myself. I made a flag. It's white and it's yellow and orange flames around it. And in the middle is the word vergogna. Vergogna in Italian means shame.
Thailand will soon be the first Southeast Asian country to open civil marriage to same-gender couples, a bill that extends them the same rights as their heterosexual counterparts passed its final reading in the Senate on June 18th. The House of Representatives overwhelmingly approved marriage equality in April. Next comes the rubber stamp approval of King Maha Vajiralongkorn. The new laws will then take effect within 120 days of its official publication in the Government Gazette. Macha Forin is a founder of the Thai queer advocacy Sangsang Anakat Yawachon Foundation. She reflected on the long-fought-for victory for Deutsche Welle.
I think we have been struggling for almost two decades to advancing right to family for LGBTIQ people. We lost some of our colleagues along the way, but we have been involving with a lot of young activists. This marriage equality achievement means so much for our community, especially LGBTIQ young people.
Thailand,
will be Asia's third marriage equality country, following Taiwan and Nepal.
Budapest's LGBTQ Pride Parade brought more than 30,000 people to the streets and set gay U.S. Ambassador David Pressman once again in direct conflict with far-right Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Pressman hosted a pre-parade family-friendly gathering at the home he shares with his husband and their twin sons on June 22nd. There, he delivered a scathing critique of autocratic Orban's machinery of fear and his increasingly repressive crackdown on sexual and gender minorities in Hungary since taking power in 2010.
Orban and his sycophantic cronies have fostered blatant societal animus against LGBTQ people, even though same-gender sex is technically not illegal in Hungary. Anti-bias protections based on sexual orientation are on the books. However, this Eastern European nation has its own version of Vladimir Putin's Russian no promo homo law and bans gender-affirming healthcare, legal gender change, and adoptions by queer couples. At his family pride event, Ambassador Pressman said that he was originally scheduled to speak at the Hungarian Parliament building until a senior member of Orban's ruling party blocked it. Here are some of the words they did not want to hear Pressman say. U.S. Ambassador to Hungary, David Pressman.
We'll get back to more LGBTQ plus voices in the news of 2024, but first, This Way Out kicks off 2025 with a favorite from the past year.
The job description starts with be fabulous all the time.
The mayor calls me on my cell phone and cares what I think.
We can change the world by being more fabulous. And you have that power every single day.
Under 18 kids can buy a gun, but they can't watch a drag queen tell a story. Really, I thought we had moved past it. And now I'm realizing that this is sort of the life that I'm going to have the rest of my life, is dealing with this, because this isn't going to go away overnight.
Lessons in Fabulousness from San Francisco drag laureate Darcy Drollinger. Next time on This Way Out.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
We're speaking of queer news, 2024 on This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Daniel Wasias. The queer year ended with a historic hearing at the U.S. Supreme Court, but there was more. One U.S. national political convention that was predictable, and another with unplanned changes, and a queer pressure campaign in Australia that made the government count its blessings.
The rights of LGBTQ people and programs and policies to encourage diversity, equity, and inclusion were frequent targets at this week's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 78-year-old unrepentant rapist and convicted felon Donald Trump accepted the presidential nomination of his party for the third time. Of all the bizarre non sequiturs in his meandering 90-plus minute July 18th speech, this one was easy to miss.
We will not have men playing in women's sports. That will end immediately.
Trump's pick for vice president is junior senator J.D. Vance of Ohio. His record of far-right positions like a total ban on abortion and climate change denial all but ensures an extremist administration if Trump wins election in November. The plan is laid out clearly in the document Project 2025, a blueprint of right-wing intentions echoed in the Republican Party platform. Other speakers during the four-day convention highlighted how those plans are consistent with current legislation targeting trans people in Republican-dominated states across the country.
They stand for DEI, which really means division, exclusion, and indoctrination, and it is wrong. They can't even define what a woman is.
They promised normalcy and gave us Transgender Visibility Day on Easter Sunday. And let me state this clearly. There are only two genders, and we are made in God's image. Amen.
This fringe agenda includes biological males competing against girls and the sexualization and indoctrination of our children. Republicans understand that Americans don't want woke equity. They want God-given equality.
At this week's Republican National Convention, that was Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Georgia Congressmember Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson.
U.S. President Joe Biden is passing the torch of the Democratic Party to Vice President Kamala Harris. The 82-year-old Biden has been a stalwart friend to the LGBTQ plus community during his long storied career. As vice president to President Barack Obama, Biden caused what was a major stir at the time when he upstaged his boss in announcing his public support for marriage equality. It happened during a May 2012 interview on NBC's Meet the Press.
Look, I just think the good news is that as more and more Americans come to understand what this is all about is a simple proposition. Who do you love? Who do you love? And will you be loyal to the person you love? And that's what people are finding out is what all marriages at their root are about, whether they're marriages of lesbians or gay men or heterosexuals.
A disastrous performance in a debate with Republican nominee Donald Trump in late June was a career ender for Biden. Party leadership convinced him that he was not the best candidate to defeat the would-be dictator. He reluctantly made his decision known on July 21st. It became official with an address from the Oval Office 3 days later.
I revere this office, but I love my country more. It's been the honor of my life to serve as your president. But in the defense of democracy, which is at stake, I think it's more important than any title.
Biden unequivocally endorsed his 59-year-old vice president, Kamala Harris, to the top of the Democratic Party ticket. The party, in turn, has rallied behind her in the first days of a reinvigorated campaign. Married dad and U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg was pleased with the Harris candidacy. He described his initial reaction during a July 22nd interview on MSNBC.
We happened to have the TV on in our kitchen as she addressed the campaign staff in Wilmington. It was just as we were putting the mac and cheese out for our son and daughter. And it was amazing when my daughter, who's about to be three, pointed to the TV and said, "What's that?" I just felt goosebumps as I heard myself saying, "That's Kamala Harris, and she's going to be the next president."
The presumptive Democratic presidential candidate also has a long history of LGBTQ plus allyship. As Attorney General of California, Kamala Harris championed the state's first same-gender marriages.
By virtue of the power and authority vested in me by the state of California, I now declare you spouses for life.
That was a moment in the history of the ongoing fight for the civil rights of people. There are some things for which we should have no patience because justice delayed is justice denied. When we are talking about the fight for civil rights and for equality and equal justice under law, we should not have so much patience that we deny people justice.
Harris kicked off her campaign with a speech at West Allis Central High School in West Allis, Wisconsin on July 23rd.
before I was elected vice president, before I was elected United States Senator, I was elected Attorney General of the state of California, and I was a courtroom prosecutor before then. And in those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women, fraudsters who ripped off consumers, cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics will include questions about sexual orientation and gender identity in its 2026 census. The ruling Labour Party had made a campaign promise to conduct an inclusive census. However, officials had apparently ended up omitting any LGBTQ questions in a misplaced desire to avoid a culture war controversy. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese responded to the widespread criticism from queer rights groups and his own Labour Party last week, saying that questions about sexual orientation had been added. The absence of questions about gender identity prompted renewed criticism. That issue was addressed, and Treasurer Jim Chalmers updated Australian Bureau of Statistics policy again late this week during an interview on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
The message that we want to ensure that Australians hear from us today is that we understand the feedback that we got. We listened to that. We took it very seriously. We listened very genuinely. We said that we would find the best way to do this, and I believe that we have and we will. And the ABS will continue to refine the actual wording of the questions now that this additional topic has been added.
There's still another painful omission. One that Intersex Human Rights Australia CEO, Dr. Morgan Carpenter, finds devastating. In his words, it means we won't get much needed information on the health and well-being of people with innate variations of sex characteristics.
Gender-affirming healthcare for trans patients under the age of 18 was the issue before the United States Supreme Court this week. The historic December 4th hearings considered a constitutional challenge to Tennessee's ban on all pediatric transitioning treatments. The case is called U.S. v. Scrimeti, with Tennessee's Attorney General Jonathan Scrimeti as the named defendant. Challenging the ban on behalf of Tennessee families with trans children was the ACLU's Chase Strangio, the first transgender person to argue a case before the nation's highest court.
This law, we believe, is unconstitutional, and perhaps the scariest thing for all of us is that Tennessee's arguments would apply if Congress tomorrow banned this care nationally for adolescents, for adults. They claim that there are no protections based on sex for the transgender people, who, like myself, who rely on this medical care.
Attorneys fighting the ban argued that it constitutes discrimination based on sex. Tennessee Solicitor General Matthew Rice said that it is not true.
Tennessee lawmakers enacted SB 1 to protect minors from risky, unproven medical interventions. The law imposes an across-the-board rule that allows the use of drugs and surgeries for some medical purposes, but not for others. Its application turns entirely on medical purpose, not a patient's sex. That is not sex discrimination.
The whole thing is imbued with sex.
Progressive Justice Elena Kagan begged to differ.
I mean, it's based on sex. You might have reasons for thinking that it's an appropriate regulation, and those reasons should be tested and respect given to them. But it's a dodge to say that this is not based on sex, it's based on medical purpose, when the medical purpose is utterly and entirely about sex.
The treatment of young trans patients with reversible puberty blockers and hormone therapies can often be life-saving, literally. That's the opinion of virtually every professional medical and mental health organization in the United States, including the American Medical Association and the American Psychiatric Association, along with the American Academy of Pediatrics. However, Justice Brett Kavanaugh and other conservatives cited the United Kingdom's discredited CAS report, which claims that pediatric gender-affirming healthcare is too risky. He also pointed to Sweden's backpedaling on the issue as a reason to say that the jury is still out on whether the benefits of puberty blockers and hormone therapy outweigh the risks.
If it's evolving like that and changing, and England's pulling back and Sweden's pulling back, it strikes me as, you know, pretty heavy yellow light, if not red light, for this court to come in, the nine of us, and to constitutionalize the whole area when the rest of the world, or at least the countries that have been at the forefront of this, are, you know, pumping the brakes on this kind of treatment because of concerns about the risks.
Kavanaugh and Justices Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch are all Trump appointees to the court. Gorsuch famously authored the surprising 6-3 Bostock decision in 2020, the first time a ruling involving a transgender person was handed down by the court. It found that federal laws banning employment bias based on sex also protect lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender workers. However, Gorsuch was notably silent during this week's two-hour-plus hearing. U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Preloger questioned the constitutionality of the Tennessee law. She asserted that transgender people should be a protected class in anti-discrimination laws.
If you're approaching this from the standpoint of saying, is this a group with a distinguishing characteristic that has no bearing on their ability to contribute and that needs some protection from the courts, I think if any group qualifies, this one does in light of the current laws and what might come in the future.
A ruling in support of the Tennessee ban would most likely validate similar bans on pediatric gender-affirming health care. They've been enacted by Republican majorities in more than a dozen other states, and some of them continue to be challenged in lower courts. A decision by the Supreme Court is not expected until next June.
Finally, a quick and clever queer quip from Sir Elton John brought the house down this week on CBS TV's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
You weren't always Elton John. You were born Reginald Kenneth Dwight.
Yes.
Which is also a lovely name.
It's a name. And as soon as I could change it by deed poll, I did.
Well, it's Reginald is the male version of Regina, right? Which means queen.
Thank you.
We've been speaking of queer news for the year ending December 31st, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. NewsWrap is written each week by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle and produced by Brian DeShazer. NewsWrap volunteers featured in this week's special collection were...
I'm Michael LeBeau.
I'm Joe Bainline.
I'm Ava Davis.
I'm Marcos Nahela.
I'm Sarah Montague.
I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
I'm Kaylin Hardman.
I'm John Dyer V.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Melanie Keller.
Thanks to them and to the rest of this year's NewsWrap readers, Brian DeShazer, Nico Raquel, Alan Tejamo, Elena Bakken-Levy, Daniel Huesias, Wendy Natividad, David Hunt, and Lucia Chappelle. The cast from the movie soundtrack of Rent performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks John Dyer V of Winston, Oregon, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this nonprofit program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon, associate producer Lucia Chappelle, overnight production CEO Brian DeShazer, and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Daniel Macias. Thanks for listening, online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And on 2CCC, Gosford News South Wales, KPFA Berkeley, California, WRFN Nashville, Tennessee, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned for a queer new year.